morning, everybody, and welcome to Seeking Salvation. My name is Sarah, and I am super excited to be here. We're going to start off our hour with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Seeking Salvation. My name is Sarah. I am so excited to do the message this week. It's about giving grace. It's something I feel very, very strongly about and kind of giving that heart to people, right? doing the right thing with people. And it's one of my downfalls, but I also believe it's super important. So it's something I concentrate on all the time. And I'm going to go into that and more right after we do the Ten Commandments, and we'll be back. 1. You shall have no other gods before me. 2. You shall not make idols. 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. 4. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 5. Honor your father and mother. 6. You shall not murder. 7. You shall not commit adultery. 8. You shall not steal. 9. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And 10. You shall not covet. So how is everybody doing this week? I worked on the book a lot. It's updated if you want to go read the updates. I updated chapter 4, and I believe I added chapter 3 this week. And it's a work in progress. It is a living book, so please take it easy on me. But it is coming along. And so I did add bless your enemies, and I also added giving grace, which is this week's message. I'm working on it slowly. It is my heart, so I take a lot of time writing it, and I meditate on it a lot. So this week is a message that I feel very strongly about, as I said. While I was praying, I was trying to understand like my place in the world and what I was supposed to do and where I was falling short. And I often, when I meditate, I don't ask for material things. I ask for guidance usually. And I've just been feeling low and kind of not really understanding if I'm doing the right thing. And I had a friend come down on me hard, which I get happens whenever you're doing something that bothers the enemy, right? I don't think he's the enemy. I just think that stuff will come up in your life and kind of try to dissuade you from what you're doing. And I also understand that I'm in a period of rest right now for things that are coming. But my question was, what do I do right now, right? Because I'm doing the podcast, which is semi-anonymous. I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't be too hard to find me, but I do want to keep this podcast about God and not about my ego. So pictures and things like that are just not going to be a part of it. I study, I observe the Sabbath, I pray, I do the podcast. There's something inside of me was feeling kind of like, you know, am I doing the best I can with other people? And I still struggle with this, right? I had a falling out with my business partner, not a huge falling out, a little falling out. And the answer to this, in so many words, was that I still have hardness in my heart, which is hard for me to hear because I try really, really hard, right? The whole line, blessed are those that try, came from my meditation, and it was the thing that I identified with because I try so hard in life. And I was assured that I still have this hardness in my heart, which was hard to hear. And this hardness is kind of why people strike back at other people and respond harshly and judge them, saying, what would Jesus do? And then doing the opposite of what he would do is a problem in our society, right? Like, I have that same problem. I know that I should respond one way, and I still respond in a defensive mode sometimes. And largely, I felt that I just have to unharden my heart and get rid of those areas of defensiveness that I hold on to. And while I've truly believed that I've left the stage of preparing to be something, I'm now in the stage of becoming. The journey is just fraught with misunderstandings, right? For everything I understand now that I didn't understand before, there are more questions about who I am and what I should do. And I don't want to say the wrong things and do the wrong things. And while I do pray constantly for guidance on what to say, people put their own thoughts and hearts into things sometimes, and I do not want to do that. I want it to always be about God. So my question to God during this time was, you know, how do I become what I do not yet understand? Which is probably the thing that a lot of people want to know, right? To get to point B. And I know that it's a journey. And I remember early in my journey that I was praying at one point and I was like, God, you know, I'm not getting it, or something's not clicking. And this whole like thought and feeling came through that, you know, Jesus waited 33 years and he was perfect. And Moses also most of his life, right? Like, so I'm not going to get it in a year or 2 years. It's going to take me a while to understand the fullness of my path, and I need to be okay with that. And questioning is actually very normal. It's normal to question what you're doing in faith. Confusion is the beginning of understanding, right? It is where you start. And what came out of this meditation this week was that becoming someone else, becoming a child of God, and being in this universe of God is not just a flash of light or a divine intervention or an anointment on your life, right? It can be all those things, but it is also a process. And it is becoming, it is something that you become with time, and it does not change overnight. And I sometimes get very impatient for the problem, right? Because I am a person that solves issues. I am that type of person. I want to solve problems. I want to do the thing that's hard, and I want to stand up for the person that has no one. But what I fail to understand sometimes in my fervor for becoming this person is I don't yet have the spiritual enlightenment that I need to maybe do all of those things. And so it is a process, and you do not change overnight. While you become new in Christ, when you accept Christ into your life, it is still a journey, right? Because you don't stop making bad decisions or having bad habits the second you become a Christian. And one of my downfalls is with other people, right? I have a history of sexual abuse, which I've talked about. Because of that, I have very defensive modes inside me. I do not care for passive-aggressive people, and it's something that I work on all the time. I love them as humans in my spiritual mind, but in my earthly mind, my defenses are up, right? My back is up. So I pray for guidance about how to unharden my heart when it comes to these type of things. And the first thing that I understood that I needed to do was be kind to people. Being kind can mean so many things, and it can be speaking nicely, it can be buying somebody a latte, it can be doing things for people, helping someone with a chore, or, you know, like moving, sharing food with people. So all of these things constitute being nice. But what I understood specifically from this meditation was saying hi is nice, but unburdening people is better. And that's the line for today, right? Saying hi is nice, but unburdening people is better. Does this mean you should focus all your energy on acts of kindness and trying to unburden the people that are around you? Now, but what it means is that you should do things with intention. You should listen with intention. Understand whether you're saying something as a pleasantry versus really connecting with a person. When you say good morning, how are you? Do you really mean good morning, how are you? Are you prepared to be present with people? And it just goes back to the whole point of how many of us in this world talk without listening. And it's a large number of people that say good morning. It's expected. My coworker literally has a rule about it, right? So she's like, if I'm here first, then the other person that comes in has to say good morning first. I have no idea that this was a thing. So now I say good morning to her because it's important to her that I say good morning to her. And I do that because it's not an imposition, right? For me to come in and say good morning and start the day off right, if that's what she feels she needs. So I try to do that. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here that I have regarding the power of our words. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. I love that Ephesians quote because it kind of emphasizes what I received in meditation, which was unburden people. Don't just listen to listen, right? And I always look for the scriptural backup to whatever I receive in meditation. It's kind of how I judge whether it's coming from me or whether it's coming from God. And most of the time I feel like I'm connecting with God on a real level. But I do like to have that backup. And more than anything, it points out that empty words in the kingdom of God do not mean anything if the receiver receives nothing from them. You can have pleasantries and say good morning, and that is fine and nice and good. But if person doesn't get anything out of that interaction, or if they're reaching out and saying, no, you know, I didn't really have a great night and I'm not feeling great today, and then you go, oh, I'm sorry, and you just walk away, what does that do for anybody? It doesn't do anything for you, and it doesn't do anything for them. And we always hear this thing, right, and especially nowadays, that words have power. And it's kind of always connected to a negative thing because, you know, somebody says something that's unenlightened or ignorant or whatever, and we say words have power. And it's like, you know, you can hurt people with your words. And that is absolutely true. But I also think as Christians, we need to flip the script a little bit on that saying and understand that our words have power in a positive way as well. They have the power to inspire, they have the power to ease burdens, and they have the power to remove negativity from whatever situation we are in. And how powerful will our words be when we are using them for the positive things in life instead of the negative things in life? So words matter. Use them with intention. The second thing that came about was acts are powerful ways to relay the spirit of goodness in people and the kingdom of God, right? When you do things for other people, think about what you are doing for them in context to relieving burdens. We often have this thing in life on earth where we throw stuff at the problem and we don't actually deal with the problem, and we'll throw money at something or we'll throw medication at something instead of just changing our lives. We'll throw medication at it. We buy people stuff because that's what we know to do. We're an entire world of consumers, and stuff is not always the answer. Did you ever hear that saying that says, teach a man to fish and he will live for the rest of his life, right? That is absolutely true here. So you want to relieve a burden for somebody. Don't just throw money at it because it's not going to work out. You have to be of service to people. And Jesus was all about this in his ministry on earth, right? He said in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, right? He came to serve people. And he demonstrated that in his ministry. He washed the feet of people. He healed people. He, you know, carried the cart and the equipment, and he was of service to people. So to be like Jesus, we have to serve. We have to. And I know that there's a huge contention about this in certain churches versus other churches. But what you have to realize is that if you are not serving Christ, so the whole point of this was to become like Christ, right? And if you're not serving people, you are not like Christ. And I hate to tell you that, but it is true, because service was a cornerstone of his ministry. And so serving other people is akin to Christ himself, right? So know that not all things are good and not all people are good, and you may feel like they don't deserve it, but you still must serve them. Matthew 20, verse 26 through 28. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And it was kind of a repeat of that previous verse, but it does nail down that fact that service was definitely a part of Jesus's ministry. We absolutely should serve and help people with intent to help people. So do acts not based on a person's goodness or the person or what you judge about them, but do it based on Jesus, right? Because it's what's right. Help people and relieve their burdens. And then afterwards, let it go. It doesn't matter what somebody does with your blessing. Because if you release it to God, your part's done. If they waste that blessing, they're the ones that are going to answer to God on judgment day. And God is going to say, why I gave you this blessing, why didn't you do anything with it? It has nothing to do with you after you have given it, because once you have given it, you have completed your part of it. So let it go. Stop judging what people do with what you give them, because that's not your problem. Your problem is being of service to people, helping people, right? So once you release it to God, then you put on the armor of God and you let it go. And I want to talk about the armor of God, because I've recently come to understand it more fully, especially in context with dealing with people that I have an argument with or that I am being defensive with, right? I used to think as the armor of God is like the shield against anything that was harsh in life. And I realized that it is absolutely separating yourself from your actions, right? You give to somebody, somebody yells at you, or you're having a conversation and somebody yells at you. And by putting on the armor of God in that moment, you are withstanding that, because it's not about you that they're yelling. They may be yelling about you, but I mean, it doesn't have to affect your life. It doesn't have to affect your spirituality or your relationship with God. Once you put that armor on, you are free and clear from the harshness of what the other person is saying. It doesn't matter what others say or do with what we've given them. Let it reflect off of you, right? And I think that's what the armor stands for. Like, it just reflects off the bad stuff, because your part is done. You reached out. You walked the second mile. You listened with an open heart. You were the friend who helped somebody. Their response to it is not your problem. It's God's to deal with. Do for people what you can do and leave it with them. Let God take in the harshness and injustice, because he will judge it. The next thing I want to talk about is lip service. And this kind of goes with this whole giving grace theme, right? Because what is giving grace? And I thought about this in the context of giving lip service to somebody, right? False adoration or lip service does not do anything for anyone. First of all, it's a lie. If you are saying false things to somebody to build them up, that is not truly building them up. Because if it's based on a lie, then it's not accurate anyway. And I think about this in the context of work all the time because people at work will often be like saying things to their managers that aren't necessarily true. And I've seen it happen, right? We cannot go into service for God while speaking falsehoods. And if we are, we need to try really hard to get that under control. Many people do this in the workplace, but the other place I see it a lot is with celebrities, right? People will give them much adoration. They'll say so many nice things about them, but it's false. They don't even know them. So to say that they have done this thing or they are this way is completely false. It is better to stay silent than to give someone a false compliment. And think about that the next time you're trying to tell your friend how they look in an outfit, or, you don't have to be harsh either. Just try not to lie. Try not to give false adoration to people. The other thing I wanted to discuss this week was about being present with people. And Jesus, of all the things I think about Jesus, and he was good and he forgave people and he had love for humans. But I also think one of the greatest things about Jesus was he was present with people. He listened to people. He understood that people were human and that it didn't matter where they were from or what they looked like. It didn't matter what religion they practiced. He was there with them. He heard their struggles. And that is an incredible thing to be able to do, is to look at another religion or look at another person who you have nothing in common with and be like, I know what they're going through. And even if I don't know what they are going through, I can empathize with it, right? That is so important. He literally listened and unburdened people's hearts. And we should strive for this in our everyday life. So don't just listen. Listen intently. Don't just say the mindless good morning. Say it and care about the response. It's not always easy to be present nowadays, and the electronics in our world are out of control, in my opinion. We have so much going on, and it's kind of scary at times. I think about the fact that my phone just turns on now. I tend to lock my phone in my office a lot because when I pray, I don't like my electronics on. And it is a thing for me, right? Like, I just want to be totally present. And it's not that I'm perfect at this. I watch my daily Bible study at night, and I'm sometimes like playing a game, and I have to remind myself to stop doing that kind of stuff because it's just distraction. It's distraction from God. And when I realize that I'm doing this, I turn it off and I let it go, right? Because I need to concentrate on what I'm doing. It is absolutely imperative at this date and time in our world to be present with God. I do believe that God is coming. I believe Jesus is coming back. I don't know what is going to happen, mostly because I don't know. I mean, nobody knows the day and time, but we also are way in the dark here. I mean, we're finding out that the government has lied to us about everything, including Hitler. We're finding out that the government lied to us about money. I mean, who else have they lied about? What else have they lied about? It seems to be a big conspiracy against Jesus. And my nagging thought over the last 2 weeks is that they've lied to us about Jesus and they don't want people to follow him. I think that they killed him purposely and change the narrative. So God just, I keep hearing in my head when I meditate, follow the shorter path, follow the narrow path. Whatever path is the narrow path when all this goes down is the one I'm going to be on. I guarantee you, it's going to be the one that is full of goodness and full of light, and it will be the narrow path. And I don't care if I have to die for that. I don't care if I have to, give up everything in my life for him. I will. And I will know at the end. I believe that I will know what is real. I can't wait for that day because in our world, it's very frustrating to me to just not know everything they've lied about, and I think there's much more than we even know because this seems like a conspiracy that has gone way back. So the only thing we have is each other, right? In this world, we don't have our leaders and we don't have Jesus. I mean, we have Jesus right now, but not in the flesh. So we need to take care of each other and we need to be there and listen intently. We need to give grace to people. It's not easy because everybody's angry right now and you see it on the corner and on social media. You see the harshness going on and people are angry. And it occurred to me the other day, and this kind of blew my mind. This epiphany just kind of blew my mind where God said at the end, He would separate the righteous on the right and the evil on the left. And I'm like, isn't that exactly what's happening right now? But then I don't know, like we have the right versus the left, and it's not just in the United States, it's all over the world. I have the inclination that everything is not what it seems. So be on your guard because just know that the evil in the world is trying to trick you. And they will succeed with a lot of people. The Bible says that, right? They will succeed. I don't think that it's totally fair because free will, our free will is not free right now. But we have to have more faith in God than we have fear in the unknown. And that is what I live by every day. I live by that if you shall seek, you shall find. And I am seeking hardcore right now. I am seeking so hard that I don't want there to be any question of who I'm praying to. I pray to the eternal Father that created Adam. That is who I'm praying to. There's so much conflicting information out there. I just want it to be known that that's who I pray to, and I pray to the Son of God. So, whoever that is, when they come back, I will know because that's who I talk to. And goodness is always a part of that. I question things all the time. And I don't think questioning is bad, right? You have to question what you're hearing in order to be awake. But man, is it like difficult right now. You don't want to think that the whole world is lying about something like God, but I don't know. The path is wide to iniquity, and there's a lot of people right now that I feel like are on the same path, and that kind of scares me. So I do question every day what God wants me to do. And where he wants me to be. And I have had profound moments of divine intervention in my life. So I know the voice of God. And I am hesitant to believe in anything but him and Jesus right now. Because God is just, speaking to me. And what I am understanding is that there is a great deception, and many Christians will be fooled by it. So just walk carefully, walk on glass, man, because it's coming and it's not going to be pretty. And I don't know what it all means. You know, I haven't gotten that far in my meditations yet. I have specific things that I do for God, and I have specific things that I stick to. I feel like God directs me in ways to certain scriptures and certain books in the Bible. There are other things, like the meat thing. And I know I've gotten super off topic here, and I'm sorry, but I did the Daniel fast, and I quit eating meat for 3 weeks. And then I was like, I went back to eating meat, and I decided that I shouldn't be eating meat. So I stopped again. So now I've been vegetarian for close to 3 weeks, a little over, and not missing meat at all. So you have to listen, though. It's hard. It's ironic to me, though. What is ironic to me right now is that so many people are participating in the Daniel fast. People that I know at work are doing it. I've never had that happen before. I've always been kind of a lone wolf when it came to God, right? Like, I have my beliefs and I talk about them. It is only recent that I've started standing up to my friends about God, but I cannot deny anything anymore. Like, I feel like it's too risky to deny things. And now I know so many people that are doing the Daniel fast that are, you know, giving up things for God. And it's beautiful, but it's also like, wow, what is going on in the world? There is definitely some kind of revival. And God is working. I do think that you need to be on a spiritual path. I'm afraid of what that means for a lot of people. I pray for people all the time, and I want everybody to go to heaven. I mean, I want everybody to be able to live without sin and in a world that isn't complicated like ours is. Our world is so complicated. We have, you know, the evil. We have the good, we have the mediocre, we have people that are fighting every day for refugees and sex trafficking, and, you know, those people are heroes to me. I wish that I could do something like that. I wish that I could save children and understand, you know, that amount of service to somebody, to a cause for God, right? It's incredible. People that feed people. And I feel like sometimes, you know, doing a podcast isn't that big of a deal compared to everybody else, but I don't know what God has planned for me. I know that I'm in a period of isolation right now, and that has been understood by me for months and months and months now. And I'm okay with it because it's what God wants for me. I feel strongly that it's what God wants for me right now. So I'm going to handle it with as much grace and study as much as I can and just understand the scripture and understand what I know. And there's one thing about me, I always know what I don't know, right? Like, as a nurse, I always say that. I know what I don't know. And there's a lot that I don't know. I can read almost the entire Gospel of Thomas and know what all of the parables mean. But there are some that I still do not get. And, you know, I read them and try to understand. And it takes a lot of spiritual knowledge to understand some of these things. And to look beyond just the mere words You have to look beyond it. You have to meditate on it. When I mean meditate, I mean meditate. I'm not talking about a 5-minute prayer 3 times a day. I'm talking about serious meditation and understanding the Word of God. And it is tough. And it's because He wants the people that are seeking Him to actually be seeking Him all the time. And there are times it's funny, like I get to a certain point and I'll be like, oh, I know this and I know that, and I'm like studying this and I understand that. And then I'll look back and think, I totally didn't understand that at all. So now I understand it, but then I didn't understand it. So it's a constant work in progress. I don't consider myself righteous at all or worthy at all. I just consider myself seeking and trying. And last week or the week before, when I was meditating and it just came through with such clarity, blessed are those that try. I cried because that was the first time I'd heard something that sounded like the Beatitudes that actually applied to me, right? Because blessed are the weak. I don't consider myself weak or meek. I think it's blessed are the meek, sorry. Or, blessed are the poor. I'm not rich, but I'm not, definitely not like in as bad of situations as some people. I can be there again instantly, and I understand that. So I never really totally related to any of the Beatitudes besides blessed are those who forgive because they will be forgiven. That I have done in my life. I've forgiven a lot in my life. So I always related to that one. But when blessed are those that try came through, I was like in tears because it was like being at the feet of God and just knowing that He understood me and how hard I try every day to be good, even though I fail repeatedly. And some days I do fail repeatedly. Some days I am on the path with God, right? Like I am totally there. And then other days I mess up and I feel horrible about it and I pray for forgiveness. But that's not every day. And I remind myself all the time that God did not come, Jesus did not come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. And I keep reminding myself of that every single day because I am one of those sinners. And as much as I want to be righteous in the eyes of God, I am not there yet. I'm not. I have weak moments, and I sin, not like constantly sin, but I do sin, and I don't ever want to be forgotten in the eyes of God. I think that would break me more than anything. But anyway, we're gonna pray. Thank you for joining me. Sorry I went off on a diatribe, but I was kind of done with the topic anyway, so we just kind of got off topic. But thank you for joining me, and I appreciate every single person that listens to this podcast. I hope that you know that I try to give you what I feel in my heart from God, and thank you for your support. Dear Eternal Father, thank you for everything that you have done for us. Thank you for the constant reminders and blessings and corrections that you give us on a daily basis to try to keep us on the path. We know we're not perfect, and we know that we need to try. Blessed are those who try in your kingdom, and we are trying to be faithful to you, God, even though we fail daily. We are so blessed to have Jesus die for us, and we remember that sacrifice every single day. And thank you for giving your son so that we could be forgiven. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen.